You may be seated. Okay, church and kids. There are coloring pages for kids, but Ben and Hannah and Laura have also said that they will go outside to the park and play. So if you have a child here today who would like to go outside and play carefully with one another, Ben, there's a few balls at the back by the door that you can take out, this door. And for kids who don't want to go out, there are coloring pages at the back that you're welcome to join. And Laura, if you need extra help, just come on in and say, I need some help. And we'll all run out and help you. Have fun outside, kids. It's good to see you here today. So one of my favorite things to do, if you know me well, you might already guess, is to be at the water. And I happen to be given the gift often of spending time at Lake Huron at Sauble Beach. And I love to sit in the sand and to look out at the water. And as I look out at the water, I just think of the vastness of God. I think of how God is, I can't see across this body of water, never ends. And I think of God being that way, that God is unlimited. He is this resource. He is life-giving water to our souls, to my soul. I rarely look behind me when I'm at the water. And it's a really deep spiritual exercise for me to say, I just can look forward with hope. And there's just, again, unlimited hope. It's a way that I choose to see God when I'm out in nature with a beautiful picture in front of me. At home, and Terry will smile, I have a whole bunch of images or things that to me represent God, that I move throughout our house, that I know sometimes where they are and I go to that place. And so this for me is just, it's a nest obviously of eggs. It just reminds me of the tenderness of God. I'm going to talk about today being hidden under God's wing as a safe shelter. And I look at this and I pause and I think, what does it mean for me to find safe shelter in this nest of God? Recently, I've said to the congregation earlier this summer, I lost a dear friend to cancer. And someone dropped this off for me. And I find myself holding it, carrying it around the house, thinking of Sue, how God tenderly held her in her last breaths, and also how God is tenderly holding me. And so I stop and I rest. And I say, God, thank you that you're holding me. Thank you that you are near to me. Thank you that I can be like a little bird in this time and that you will heal me. And then I transfer that out to mornings when I see the chickadees flying all over our bird feeders. And I just love that God gives this gift, and it says as he cares for the sparrows, I believe he cares for the chickadees. He cares for those, and how deeply he then cares for us, his creation as well. And then this is a really special one to me. It's by an indigenous artist. And this tree just represents to me, there's a verse that talks about a tree that can bear fruit in all seasons. So when the winds come, it doesn't grow barren. And so I look at this picture often and think, though it might be a season of storm or the wind might be bending, that God is, again, a safe shelter. He is the one that sees us in this storm. And tucked into this, in every piece of her art, is a heart. And why can I not find it today? But so funny, the first time there it is. It's because I'm looking at the wrong angle. There's the heart. And it was the very first thing I saw when we were in this art gallery. And I see this heart. And the owner of the gallery said, that's amazing to me that that's the first thing that you saw. And I think it is because for me, God's love is all over this picture. And so I do. I have these around our home. I pause in different seasons. I hold verses. I find God in these images. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at something, called Visio Divina. And this is a practice of prayer. Some of us have done Lectio Divina together, where we have a scripture is read to us and we listen three different times. We find what grabs us and what pulls our attention, what God is wanting to say. So Visio Divina is where we look at an object or an image And we're focusing on the image or the picture rather than words. So it brings scripture to life in a new way. And the goal is to encounter God, to encounter God's presence in what we see. We often, or all of us here, we engage with God, we engage with scripture in many, many different ways. And so this is another way that God can communicate to us. It's a way that we can be very attentive to God's presence, to be still before God's presence, and to be open to what God might communicate to us through a certain image. And so we use images of scripture, and then this forms this visual element for us that we just really set our minds on in a sense of prayer, in a posture of prayer, quietness before God. And it really allows God to speak to our hearts through an image. So Ben is going to put up a chart. You'll just see that just in the Psalms, and this isn't actually all of them, but these are the different images, or we can call them metaphors, that are used in just the book of Psalms. And we're doing a Summer in the Psalms series. And so we see that there are just multiple images of God used so that we can visualize God. We can have a picture of God in different ways. These images, they disclose something about God. So if we didn't have all these images, we would just have the word God. But these, they bring some depth. They bring some pictures to our minds. The images are also things that are familiar to us. And so they broaden our view and our understanding of God. So when God is a rock, or when God is a shield or a strong tower, we begin to form a picture of what that can look like when we think about God. And these images used in the Psalms, they would have been very familiar both geographically and culturally in the times that the psalmist was writing these. So these are images that would have been very, very familiar to the people who would have been listening to these Psalms, or the ones indeed who are writing them. And so why? Why would I say, let's try Visio Divina together? Mostly because we're all wired in very different ways. And some of us respond best to the written word, some of us to the spoken word, some of us to music, some to art, and some through movement. I love the spoken word, so I often learn best through a podcast. And so that's how I listen. Songs, I mean, almost every Sunday morning, there's a something in a song that just grabs my attention. So this morning, you bring healing to my soul. The other one was that you change our burdens to our brokenness to joy. What a beautiful transfer that is when we listen into those words. And so we are invited to connect to God through prayer in many, many different ways. And you might have a preferred style of prayer. There might be one that brings like the best experience, as it were, with God to you. But also, God invites us to use all of our senses. And so sometimes we're listening, sometimes we're watching, sometimes we're moving. And we are just invited to get to know God through our different senses. When I practice Visio Divina, I just Google, because it's such a great thing. And so I Google books from museums, and I find religious art pieces. So I go onto their websites. There's so many beautiful ones. This March, we went to Ottawa to visit Mallory and Aaron. And we went to an art gallery, and we all went thinking, we don't think we really want to go. We just want to see the building. And oh my goodness, we walked around this art gallery and saw all these images of God or scripture. And we could have stayed for hour upon hour, and we'd point and look and see, do you see this detail? Do you see that detail? And so we can find those images on Google or in an art gallery. You can also just find something quite abstract. It can be color on a page. It can be an abstract image of a tree, for example. We can use images from other cultures, and it's really important to see how God is portrayed in different cultures. Sometimes we don't even need artwork in front of us, that we can simply go for a walk outside, and we can invite God to speak to us through the singing of a bird, or we can say, today, would you reveal yourself in a tree? We often do this when we go for a walk at Schmidt's Wood, where we're saying, let's be really intentional and find God. This spring, there was the chicken barbecue at Hidden Acres, and Titi and Zoya came to serve. And while we were serving, this wild storm came. Like, it just blew in. And I wasn't even thinking that the girls were quite terrified. And they said, do we still have to keep serving? And I'm like, yeah, we'll be okay. But they could just see the sky turning black and the lightning and the rumble of the thunder. But then on the way home, the sky was filled with this rainbow, like just all across the city. And as we were driving, as you know, this rainbow seemed to be landing right here. And the girls were like, I think the rainbow is landing on my home. Let's keep driving, Catherine, and find it. And so we went from storm to rainbow. And we're able to talk about the promises of God in that image as well. You can find images of God in your garden, in the birds, in the sea. It's just endless where we can look to find images of God, and we're doing this intentionally. So just a little bit of, you know, practicals of how we might practice Visio Divina, and you're going to, with me. So before you would begin this practice, you would invite God to be present with you. So a prayer of, God, I invite you to be here, open my eyes. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you observe something that God wants you to see. And then you would just spend some time looking at the image that is in front of you. And you observe a whole bunch of things. Colors and lines and shapes and figures and close proximity or far away or ruggedness or light or darkness. And we look at a picture and we go one way, and we go up and down, and we go from corner to corner and back, and we're really, really spending time basically just gazing at this image, and then we find something that we react to. And so as I was practicing, there was just an image this week, it made me cry immediately, and it was a very abstract image, and I thought, oh, I don't know why I'm crying, like just immediate tears. And then I just went back and sat with it, and God just revealed something very beautiful. The blurriness of that picture actually became very clear. And then you would observe it for a second time. I like to kind of close my eyes and then say, second time with it. And you just explore what your reaction to is. It, what God might be speaking to you through this picture. Where is this reaction coming from? So I said, these tears. So I want to pay attention. You might feel delight. You might feel a little bit of, oh, it seems frightening or comforting. You might be wondering, is God saying something to you? Like, what, God, are you saying to me in this? And then take time to reflect on that. Is God saying something about himself? Or is God saying something about you? Or is he saying something about your life as a follower of Jesus? And then we just end our time silently. We just sit with that picture. I did a picture about 10 years ago. I was guided through one. It was of the friends bringing the paralytic to Jesus, and it still stays with me. I couldn't find the picture on Google, but I can find the picture in my mind, and I can remember exactly what God invited me into during that picture. So we always would seek to center ourselves in the presence of God. And I know you may feel uncomfortable. It's all right. You might feel a little foolish. You might actually think, well, God doesn't speak to me. To me. God doesn't speak to me. But I encourage you to try. I encourage you to try with us this morning. I encourage you to try beyond our service this morning. Together, we're going to take a deep breath, and we invite God to speak to us. So I often use on an inhale, I say, be still and know that I am God. And that's from the Psalms as well. So we would breathe in, be still, and know that I am God. And then we just gaze at the picture. We look at it. Go from one corner to the other, up and down, down and up. And again, we wonder, how might God be communicating through this picture to me? Do you sense an invitation? Maybe it's slow down. Maybe it's draw closer. Maybe it's be brave, take a courageous step. Maybe it's I'm here. Do you hear a call? Is God saying something to you, inviting you into something new maybe? You might be saying to you, it's okay, keep going. You might say yes, and you'll know what that yes means. Allow what it is to kind of just settle into your heart. When we're with God, we're doing with our heart, our mind, and our soul. You know, something deep might be spoken to you? And then what would you like to say to God? You could say thank you to God. You could write a psalm back to God. You could say, yes, thank you that you are my fortress in this way. But we do want to give a response back to God. And so one of the metaphors that is found in the Psalms is that God is our refuge. So this comes in different ways. God is our shield. He is our rock. He is a mountain. And he is our fortress. And so God is conceptualized. He's imaged as a place or as an object that gives a real sense of security and protection. So a fortress is strong and sturdy and secure. And what this is saying about God is that God is trustworthy, he's reliable, and there's security that we can find in God. And a fortress is a place that will provide comfort. It will provide safe shelter and protection. And just like as we think about God, that God is a place of refuge. And we can go to God and find this safety and security when we're facing life's difficulties. So a fortress served as a place of refuge for people when an enemy attacked. And it was very, very difficult for enemies to access the fortress. So that's how fortresses were built, making it very difficult. Rocks are or were also a refuge of comfort, of safety, and security. So sometimes we think of just standing on a big rock. But in the desert, the rocks often had a cave inside of them, or they became a shelter from the sun. They were a place to go in and find a place to sleep, a protection from something, an animal, for example. A fortress, and the rock also says that when in Psalm 18 it says, the Lord is my rock. Again, it's this place of a firm foundation, so we can set our feet on a rock. Shepherds, the rocks were very, very important to them. It was a place of also taking their sheep into. And it also talks about in Scripture that David often hid in the rocks, and then God became his hiding place. This sense of God being our fortress, it's also about strength. And so the psalmist could have just said, God is my rock, but instead the psalmist continues to give some emphasis. It's like a fortress being this mountain castle, and it's a place of defense. And we just will look at a picture soon to see kind of how big, how strong a fortress is, and it's always to reference back to God. So we're going to try some Visio Divina together. If you want, Andrew and Jenny, there's some, if you would like to write your thoughts down, you can just put your hand up, and Andrew and Jenny have paper and clipboards. But otherwise, if you want to pull out your phone, you can take notes, or you can simply remember them in your heart and in your mind is fine. And so Ben is going to put up, Kathy, can I get you to flick the lights off? Ben is going to put up our first image of a fortress. So together, we are going to take a breath and be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. So I'm going to read some scriptures, but first I'm going to say just consider how God might be speaking to you through the picture. What reaction is it evoking within you? What might God be wanting to say to you? And is God saying something to you about himself or about yourself or about your life of faith? And so have a look at this picture, top to bottom, side to side. Be still and know that I am God, and we invite God to speak. So as I read, you are looking. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my defense and my strong tower. I will not be shaken or disheartened. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Take a moment to gaze. Where did your eyes land? What did you think about God when you looked at this picture? So for me, what I was drawn to was this group of people, and they seemed so confident and quiet and just with each other and sharing life. And they know that the fortress is there. And I just appreciated this proximity. It actually seems kind of far, but they can easily get into that fortress. And I just appreciated this restfulness of them knowing that the fortress is there. But also that the fortress isn't like a shelter where there's having to be afraid in this picture. Where did your eyes go to? What did you think? Someone I was talking with really focused on the tree. They saw the tree first. What is that tree talking to you in that season? So something I often do is I ask God to seal something upon my mind so that I can return to it. And so as we leave this picture, you might want God to seal something in your mind. We're going to go to a new image. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. You can gaze at this picture from corner to corner, up and down. What invitation do you sense? What emotion grows in you? What might God say to you through this picture? You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Would anyone like to share what God spoke to them through this picture? It's always being brave. I've looked at this. Oh, Ben, go ahead. Thank you. Nice and loud because I don't have a mic. Sorry. Right. So it's harder to hear, but like the rain's not hitting the person? Is that what you're saying? And the hand itself is still dry. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Yes. That in a storm you're not alone. Yeah. Because I participate with you, I've already done this week, but this morning I hadn't thought about it, that it also looks like this person is on a rock. And so we just had been, I hadn't thought about that firm foundation before I had been looking at this hand of comfort so much, but still this posturing. But now I'm like, that person who's grieving, who is alone or afraid, is on a firm foundation, is on a rock. So again, you can ask God if you'd like to seal that which he spoke into your mind, and you might want to return to that. And we'll do one final image. This is the image of wings. So, this beautiful image of a swan. Take a moment to look at this picture. I actually saw this in nature. It wasn't a swan this year, but seven little ducklings were on the back of their mom. I was in Wyerton, and I just was with a friend and just sat for 20 minutes. And we just saw God come alive and this little duckling's all being taken care of. So have a look at this picture as I read some verses. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. What emotions does this picture draw out in you? Anybody want to share what emotions come up?
No, safety is an
emotion. Sure. Safety. Yeah. Anybody else an emotion? Yeah. Andrew. Relaxed and content. How beautiful. I can invite God the question of what would it look like for me to be relaxed and content with you, God? How might I do that, move into that in my life? Safety, yes. Mm. Safe with God. Does anybody want to share what this image spoke to them or where you were drawn to in this image? Anybody want to share that with us this morning? Right. Right. Absolutely. It's great. What I was drawn to this time is the swan. So we're saying the swan is the image of God, and the swan's eyes, the swan can twist its neck in such a way that it's looking back. It's just keeping God's gaze on me if I'm that little, what did you call it, cygnet? You used the right word, Andrew. So that's where God's eyes are turned as they're moving along. And again, we can invite God to seal this, and so we can return to that. So how might we move from here, having done some Visio Divina this morning? One is, I encourage you to add it into your devotional practice. Google images of Visio Divina, or Google a verse and a vision, like a picture, images of this certain verse, and you'll get a whole bunch, and you can find one. If you're reading, or when you're reading scripture, so in the New Testament, you can form a picture in your mind of maybe Jesus going and healing someone, or sitting amongst the crowd, or inviting the children to sit with him, and you can form an image in your mind, but better yet, I think we go and find an image to look at. Or you can find an image. You all know that I collect stones that are in the shape of hearts. I do that because I'm looking for an image of God in nature often. What I also encourage us to learn from this lesson is that pausing and looking for God is a good practice. I hope this didn't return empty to anyone this morning, that something spoke to you. And so pausing and being present with God in new ways, it's a way of being quiet. Often prayers are spoken and our minds are really busy and we're doing lots of words to God. And this is being quiet and inviting God to come and show us something new. And most importantly, my encouragement is that God can be found in all things. When we're seeking God, we will find him. Let's pray as Chris and Amanda come forward. God, thank you that you, in your beautiful creativity, created us with many senses. Thank you that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear and tongues to taste and hands to feel and a mind to think. And so, God, thank you for this morning where we looked for you with our eyes, we looked for you with the eyes of our hearts, and that you are present in images. Thank you, God, that you're so generous, that you want to speak to us, that you want to offer us your presence and your words. Thank you that you see us and you invite us in deeper and deeper to know you in new and fresh ways. And God, I pray that if there's been something that has stirred in someone's heart or mind, that you would seal that there, that you would keep it there, and that they would return to it, that we would return to these images and grow even further in our understanding of who you are as our fortress, as our hiding place, and where we can go to be in the shelter of your wings. Amen.